Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
All right. So we're going to start off by sharing some of our initial reactions to Come Back to Me, which is RM's newest single. So I didn't watch it until like the morning of, and Kayla, actually you sent it to me first, but you wake up before me.
Right.
And watching the music video first time through, I immediately thought, oh wow, there is so much to unpack here. Mm-hmm. There's so much symbolism. There's definitely something he's telling. So I was really excited just like looking at it, watching through like, okay, yeah, like research is going to be really fun. I can't wait to cover this episode. But the song itself, we had heard it a little bit at Yoongi's concert.
Yeah.
Because Namjoon performed some of it. And I will say when he performed it then, I was like, ooh, this is a little like unpolished in a way. But again, this song is like, it kind of gives this indie feel. And we had talked about like, ooh, maybe that's the route he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get an indie sound with Come Back to Me.
Yeah.
And I love, 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 cannot emphasize how much I love the instrumental of this song.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. I just like the first time listening through and watching the music video, I loved how it sounded too, that indie vibe. It was like, you know, remembering hearing it from Yoongi's concert, this was like, okay, this is the finished version, obviously. You know, like back then he even said like, this is really rough, really unfinished, but I just wanted to, you know, preview it to you guys. So I just love to kind of hear how it turned out and those like final touches that he put on it. I immediately felt like it was, it's definitely not like a pop song. Like it's really indie, but it's super catchy at the same time.
The chorus
like,
is so
the
catchy.
The chorus is so catchy. I was, you know, humming along with it, oohing and aahing with it. And yeah, the music video, I was like, okay, not quite sure what to make of it at first. And it made me really excited to kind of digest it over the weekend and then research with you and talk about it and dive into it because I just felt like, yeah, there's so much there that he's providing us. So we're going to dive into it here today.
Yeah, I think we have a pretty good analysis of the music video and a decent understanding of the lyrics. Yeah, so we're excited.
So join us to listen on.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be talking about Come Back to Me's production, the lyrics, the song itself. And then we'll get into the music video and unpack all of that symbolism and what we think Namjoon is trying to say and what the story is in the music video.
Yeah. Cannot wait. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Yes, thanks for being here, for all of your support, and for listening. All right, so let's just talk about some general information for Come Back to Me by RM. It was released on May 10th at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The teaser came out the day before, and it's a super short teaser, and it really left us wanting way more. Like, definitely did the job of a teaser.
Yeah, and like, no shade, but I was like, this is not much of a teaser. Mm-hmm. When I clicked on it, and I was like, okay, like, why did I even watch this? It gave me nothing.
It doesn't give you anything.
Nothing.
No, it doesn't give you anything except for his gorgeous face.
Exactly. Yeah. So it definitely like made me come back and click on the video the next day. I guess the point of the teaser. But yeah.
So like we were saying kind of when we were walking into the episode, like this song was originally like the very first glimpse of it we got during Yoongi's D-Day concert in Seoul.
Yeah.
And so that was back in August of 2023.
Yeah.
Was it really that long ago?
It really was. Yeah. August 6th, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows that Namjoon has been working on this album and like did all the music videos and everything long before its release. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just always so impressed with that. Like,
I mean, remember seeing his Instagram story like that time last year too? Like the picture of him in that little like collared dress or something and like the blonde wig, like giving like major Squid Game vibes. Like that's definitely in an upcoming video for this album.
You know? And there is, I think you were talking about on his Instagram, he also posted like a picture on his story of like the cut on his eyebrow.
Crazy. And at the time he was like, don't worry, a camera hit me or something. And like, right. So I love the planning ahead.
I think what's so sweet about him performing it at Yoongi's concert to tease it is just to show how excited he was to share it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's a long time to wait for its release. Mm-hmm. If he had written it way back in August of 2023.
And he could have chosen any other song from his mixtapes that he's never performed live also. But he chose to include this one. Yeah, so he
clearly loves the song and was eager to have ARMY hear it.
Yeah. And I think it's super fitting that it's the first release single of this album too. Mm-hmm. Like it's the first one we got a glimpse of and now he's putting it out first. So it must be really meaningful to him.
Yeah. It really is a fantastic song.
Yeah. Too. So let's dive into the song itself. It was written and produced by a small group of people. We love to see it. We love when that happens. Always the best songs. RM, of course, Junkyard, Kuo, Oh Yuck, and San Yeon. So, oh my gosh, have to talk about San Yeon for a second.
Yeah.
Because San Yeon is the founder, the leader, executive producer, creative director, and heart of Balmain fucking Tiger. Yeah. Okay. When I found this out, because I was like, let me just look into these producers. This is like back when Namjoon did Sexy New Kim with Balmain Tiger. I was like, I fucking love this. I love this collaboration. I love their approach to music. And like, I would love to see Namjoon do like more experimental shit with them and musical exploration from Namjoon in that style. And like, here it is. That is so exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to mention it now too, San Yeon is also the creative director of the music video. So he produced on the song and he is the creative director of the video. So like this just, it perfectly blends together and works so well together.
And we talked about how rare that is. Like usually the directors of the music videos and the producers on the song are not correlated
at
all. They're
never going to interact.
Very separate. Right. Very separate. So I think it's super meaningful that the one of the producers on this song is the creative director for the music video.
Yeah.
So there's that like clear intent of like the music video, I think, has even more substance and meaning to the actual song itself.
Right. It's like so much continuity between the two. We talk about how, and I think this is not even in our doc, but remember when Namjoon did that interview like towards the end of last year and he talked about what K-pop is to him and how it really, he once again brought up the concept of it's not just lyrics, it's the lyrics and the music video and the visual that goes along with it and the sound, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really feels like even from this first release of of this album, he's committed to that, because mm-hmm. to have the producer and the creative director be one and the same, you're going to innately tie all of that together. Yeah. So
you can't separate it. No. It's all in one, all consumed in one. Yeah.
Super exciting to see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. You were freaking out about it. I'm like, here really it is, Balming Tiger. Yeah. Like he heard you.
Right.
Yeah, he continued on. And obviously he enjoys working with this group of producers. Right.
Me and Namjoon just always on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about just like the vibe and production and style of this song. So I immediately, like, not only did I get indie from it, but the instrumental and the guitar, especially at the beginning with like the verses and the pre-chorus, mm-hmm. that guitar, that acoustic guitar, just takes me to Jack Johnson. Yeah. It really, really gives me Jack Johnson in a positive way. Like, I like Jack Johnson a lot.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like Jack Johnson acoustic chill music with like these indie vocals mm-hmm. that are coming from Namjoon, which are a little unrefined, just like not super perfect. Rhythm isn't like fully perfect, mm-hmm. but that's the way it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Which is that true kind of like indie sound.
Yeah, because like in the lyrics and then in the music video, we see Namjoon being a little offbeat himself, you know, with what's going on. And so it makes sense that maybe his vocals might be a little off rhythm at mm-hmm. times, or kind of sliding back and forth. And there's nothing that feels like off key or stands out as like not working with it as a whole. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just overall, like, not refined, not focused on being perfect, focused on like the feeling and the message. Yeah. And I think that gives even more impact.
Yeah, it's purposeful. Yeah, that sound.
Totally.
Because I mean, we're talking about right place, wrong person. Like, something is just out of place, something doesn't seem quite right.
100%.
Like, it's there, it's complete, but it just, something is just a little off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's also striking about the song is that he's singing throughout. And obviously on Indigo, we got a lot more singing from Namjoon than rapping. But to have this full song that he's singing, there's no rap at all. I mean, like, some of the speech is, or some of the singing is a little slower pace that could kind of be more like speaking. Mm-hmm. But like, he really is singing the whole time. So yeah. That just really stood out.
Doesn't he like to sing?
He does like to sing.
Yeah.
He sings like all the demos for the BTS songs.
Right.
You know, like, he doesn't care how perfect his voice is, like, he just enjoys to do it. And when he started to sing more on his albums and mixtapes, it was like showing this more vulnerable side of himself.
Yeah.
And this is a very vulnerable topic of this song that he's showing too, so maybe that's why the singing is coming out as opposed to the rapping.
Yeah
And then just to talk about the instrumental a bit, like you said, Jack Johnson vibes, just totally love the sounds that we hear. But I want to talk about right at the beginning when the song is first starting, there's like this kind of like ah sound, and it's hard to tell if it's like a vocalization or maybe like kind of like a synth or whatever, but it kind of effectively acts as a drone.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of maybe like one of those like sound bowls that you like dig on the edge and, you know, wave a wand around the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or like when you're entering kind of like a sound bath or like a meditative therapeutic state as you kind of like go into this song. Mm-hmm. I just found that to be such an interesting way to start. Like, it's activating the listener into like kind of this peaceful mind state, maybe.
It is. And
reflective.
It is peaceful and reflective. And I think that is intentional why he has that sound at the beginning, because that's how it brings you in. Mm-hmm. It kind of just like mentally kind of zens you out there for mm-hmm. a moment before you get into this really enjoyable, light, strumming, acoustic, and mellow. But also, like, this song is not sad by any means. This song has this kind of peaceful, relaxing, mm-hmm. Especially in like the refrain and pre-chorus, like we were saying, because it's just this whistling that you hear, this repetitive whistling throughout mm-hmm. the song, light strumming. There's occasional plucking from that acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's lovely. It's really lovely to hear. And then the chorus hits, and the chorus comes in with a drum set.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it adds so much. There's a lot of build mm-hmm. once we hit the chorus, and you have bass guitar added, that acoustic guitar is still there, but now it adds in an electric guitar that kind of just is, you know, playing some notes throughout that adds a lot to it.
Right.
And then, you know, we have that whistle, but now we have these oohs, these really nice oohs that go along. And this part of the chorus, it just makes you feel like the life is coming back to him because the beat picks up so much.
His energy picks up with it, you know, and his delivery of the oohs and and like the hook of the melody is so good right there at the chorus. Like, you know,
the that hook. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then like just the vibe of it, it feels like a continuation of maybe like, you know, the types of songs we get in Mono or even like Wildflower, like the next step for him, the next, you know, feel, the next feeling that he gets, or like, you know, the next part of the healing process from, you know, what he was going through in that song or in that album. And the chorus really brings it to that part.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be kind of like a blend of like Mono and Indigo, because we talked a little bit about the cover art for the album, and that like we were hoping that maybe this album would be a little bit more like refreshing and brighter, which I do think this indie sound is.
It already feels that way.
Feels that way. Yeah. But there's parts of Indigo that have that. You know, I think of Still Life.
Like I can feel Still Life totally. I feel like Indigo is going to be a stepping stone between Mono and this album, that this album is like set up to be like that total, like almost healing, like not even just healing through it, but healed or, you know, on the other side of it. And, you know, just a totally different perspective than he's shared before.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially reflecting on that interview I mentioned earlier, like the one that from the end of the year, like it really felt like that's what he was wanting to do and hoping to do with this album. And this feeling that we get from listening to the chorus where it just like really hits and it's just like,
and this song really is like, I wouldn't describe it as upbeat, but like It feels optimistic.
Yeah, it does feel very optimistic. Yeah. I wouldn't say like hopeful. Like there's not like messages of hope like we get from J-Hope, but it does feel optimistic for your future and for like just even where you're at right now. Not even for future you, but where you are at.
Yeah.
And that is what is really intriguing to me about what we're going to get.
I'm excited for the full album. It's really going to, you know, it's going to tell a story. It's going to have a full, but like we're going to understand.
I love it. I already fucking love this song so much.
I know,
like,
me too.
I really can't wait to get the whole album. And like this song is definitely an earworm. It's stuck in our heads. And yeah, that chorus is just keeping us coming back for more. So impactful.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into the lyrics and the meaning in this song. So in the intro, right at the beginning, and you hear him say this throughout the song. He says, "I told you I'm fine tonight, staying good." I will say at the intro, at the very beginning, when he says this, it sounds like he knows that he's not okay. Like a little bit of like, oh yeah, I'm fine. But like, there's a
dismissive.
Little bit of dismiss. But it seems like he's just telling himself this because I do think that he knows that he'll be okay again, and feel okay again. But right here at the beginning, it's not very convincing. Right. You know, I told you I'm fine tonight, staying good.
His tone that his delivery in it, you know. Yeah.
But he says it again in the refrain, and there seems to be a little bit more like, no, really, staying good. Like, I'm going to be fine.
Right. Totally. Yeah. That's where the optimism starts to peek through a little bit more. Yeah. So like there's growth within the song too.
Oh yeah. It builds.
Instrumentally and with emotions too. After that he says, "Spring always been here. I will sleep in her eyes. Come back to me like you used to. Be what you be. I will roll you to the moon." So for us, our interpretation of spring is that it represents the opposite of depression, like happiness, but also immediately makes us think of spring day and that whole message and meaning behind what spring day is to BTS and ARMY. He also personifies spring with feminine pronouns, saying, "I will sleep in her eyes," saying that effectively he can rest when he sees life through her eyes, when he's under her protective gaze, and he can be at peace. So when he's reached that spring moment or that spring day. Then the lyric, "Come back to me," is kind of telling us like he knows that his happiness and his normal self will come back to him. And it's a reassurance to himself that he knows that things that normally bring him joy can and will bring him joy again. You know, yeah. That spring will come back.
Yeah.
And that final line, like, "Be what you be, I will roll you to the moon." Moon made us think of Moonchild. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives those feelings of, like, you know, that depression or whatever.
It feels like the opposite of spring.
Yeah, totally.
The moon that, feels that dark, opposite,
that cold. Yeah. And so kind of rolling to the moon with spring, it's like you're bringing spring with you in those times of mm-hmm. depression and realizing that it's there always. Spring is now with him and will face kind of that moon side whenever he needs yeah. with him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that he can be like you used to be what you be,
yeah.
you know, like be who you are and know that you can come back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all this like self-reassurance. Like he is just reassuring himself that like, yeah, like spring, like even if I'm not fine, mm-hmm. you know, I know that spring is around me. She always comes back to me,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm not there right now or can feel it. Like I can find peace in her eyes. Like,
and knowing that she returns.
Knowing yeah. that she returns, and knowing that, you know, even when he rolls to the moon, when he's mm-hmm. in that state of sadness,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there's that glimmer of hope because he knows that she exists.
Right.
He knows that happiness is there and isn't gone forever.
Right. The moon is just a phase, mm-hmm. you know, and then love spring that. Is a season that will come. So,
yes.
you know, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Also, I guess we should just preface this whole conversation about the lyrics with like, we're totally interpreting this as like Namjoon speaking about his depression, just because mm-hmm. it's been a constant theme throughout his music, and
mm-hmm.
It's something that when we read and interpret these lyrics, we can't help but to go there ourselves, and you know, to not only think that that's what he's meaning, but then like to reflect in our own selves, and that's how yeah. it connects with us too. So
he's been very honest about that, like Moonchild, he was very honest about yeah. that being
Wildflower
about depression.
Mean, come
yeah,
on.
Indigo, he was very honest about, like those lyrics are so honest. There's mm-hmm. no denying about his creative burnout that he talks mm-hmm. about. So like. Yeah, Mono was fully about like his struggle with
yeah.
depression and his reality of being someone who has depression. So I think that with these lyrics, let's talk about the pre-chorus, because the pre-chorus is what told us like undeniably he is talking about
totally
his struggle with depression here.
Yeah.
So in the pre-chorus, he says, "I forgot the hour. I don't want to know about the hour. I forgot to shower. Even washing my face feels like a waste of time. You don't have to be the anything you see. Trying not to be that something in this sea." And so the mention of forgetting the hour, time is kind of insignificant. Forgetting to shower mm-hmm. and not washing your face, seeing it as like a waste of time. These are just a lot of behaviors and symptoms associated with depression
yeah,
in these
totally.
Lyrics. So all of that said, you know, he's saying this in this pre-chorus and he's kind of just showing like, oh yeah, this is where I'm at. This
right.
is the state I'm in. I am like losing track of time. You see it, like we'll talk about it in the music video.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that loss of like time that he has. And then the second part here, when he says, you don't have to be anything you see, trying not to be that something in this sea.
Mm-hmm.
This really just shows that Namjoon is just such a unique person and that he's not trying to be like anyone else. He wants to be uniquely who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, he feels out of place. And I think it goes back to the title of the album,
yeah.
you know, of Right Place, Wrong Person,
yeah.
where he just feels a little out of sorts and doesn't feel like he always belongs. It
mm-hmm.
makes me think of the song Strange,
mm-hmm.
where he really doesn't want to belong. Like,
mm-hmm.
isn't it strange that everyone is just a carbon copy of each other? You
right.
know, that's strange.
Right.
That's weird. So I think he might, when he gets into these states of, you know, where he's feeling depressed, is when he's like, I don't have to act like these people
mm-hmm.
or other people to be happy or feel okay. But
yeah.
maybe he struggles with feeling like, maybe if I were more like them, maybe I wouldn't struggle so
right.
much.
Or even feeling out of place Lena, saying that that is a cause for the depression, feeling like you're not like everyone else around you and not understanding how you can be so different and how you can feel so unlike everyone and not, and also not want to be like them, you know, like that could be a big source of depression and, you know, inner conflict too.
Like, to constantly feel like an outsider. Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's really hard.
That would wear on your mental health for sure.
For sure. And it also just the lyric of like, I mean, he said, you don't have to be anything you see, and then try not to be something in this sea, S-E-A. Obviously made me think of, or made us think of, like, we can turn a desert into a sea, like another BTS reference. But then, like, the talking about the sea gives us ideas of, like, fish out of water, or, you know, like, not fitting in with the other fish in the sea. You know, again, like, just feeling like an outsider. And yeah, that could, that would definitely, I know from personal experience, that definitely is very isolating. It makes you feel very depressed when you just feel different than everybody else. And there's not quite a reason why you're different than everybody else. You just feel like you don't quite, you're not in the same step with them, you know? Very hard.
What I also love about the delivery of these lines is he's saying, you don't have to be. So again, it's that reassurance. Like, I think this song is just like, we talk about how like there can be mantras, you know, that make you feel better. Like, this whole song just sounds like him reassuring himself, like, you're okay. You're gonna be okay. You don't have to be like other people to be happy. You know, like, it's just all this. He's just had so
they don't have to get you for you to, you know, be happy or for you to be accepted or, you know, whatever.
And I just love that he's in a place that he can comfort himself. You know, which can be very hard to do.
Again, feels like such a step, you know, in his process. So then we get to the refrain, which Bethany mentioned is like the more optimistic feeling of come back to me like you used to. Now I could see what a life is about. I told you I'm fine tonight, staying good. Spring always been here. I will sleep in her eyes. And that like line of now I could see what a life is about is like that clarity that comes with spring and that comes with overcoming depression. You know, like that's really where he can say, I told you I'm fine tonight. I'm staying good. Like, I know that I'm okay. And then that line, spring always been here, is the revelation that happiness is always present, even in the hardest times. And that, you know, Namjoon is maybe finding a balance and a coexistence between the depression and the happiness. Like, a lot of, I kept getting a lot of visuals of like the yin and yang sign of just like thinking about how we know the opposite to be so true. People that like struggle with depression, that even when you are your happiest, you might still have that little depression creeping in, you know, like in the background of your mind. So even when you are the most depressed, there can still be that little glimmer of happiness on the other side. And it feels like he's realizing, okay, that spring is always here with me. I always can tap into it.
And when you're feeling in those really low moments, it can be hard to know that it is there. You know, that's where you start to feel that kind of hopelessness.
And so this is like, again, his little like mantra of like reminder and reassurance to himself that it is there.
It's always there.
Yeah, it's always there.
And the line of come back to me, because he's like, she always comes back. You know, the happiness always returns. But in this refrain, the come back to me feels pretty eager for the happiness to come back. He knows that it will, and he's just so ready. He's been through this feeling a lot. He's been through this time and time again, and he's ready, like, come back to me. Okay, like, it's been long enough.
Like, okay, I know that, you know, this will end at some point. Like, I'm ready for it to be over. Totally. I so get that.
So in the chorus, the line that stands out the most that everyone knows and hears throughout this song is he says, you are my pain, divine, divine. Get to the divine, 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 so fine. I see you come back to me. So this, you are my pain, divine. He describes for sure, like, the depression is his pain. But that there is this, it's also divine in a way in that he sees its purpose in his life. And that, depression is just so painful for him, but it gives him perspective and clarity on what a life is or what his life is about. you know, it's just kind of this stronger appreciation for those moments. And so, like, yes, you are my pain, divine.
Yeah, I mean, I totally am on board with you. And I feel like Namjoon is one of those people that believes that each person in life has, like, their own, you know, struggle or lifelong struggle mm-hmm. that, like, they have to deal with and overcome, and that they're constantly challenged with throughout their life, you know? And I think that he's recognized depression as being one of those things for him, mm-hmm. that he's just like, I've just got to figure out how to work with it. If it's something that's not going away, I've got to figure out how to cope, how to triumph, how to overcome these moments mm-hmm. and how to be okay again, you know?
It's just so hard to do.
It's when so hard to do.
Causes you so much turmoil and pain,
yeah.
And is such a burden on your life. Mm-hmm. Like, that mindset shift of, like, being able to see it as something that can be divine,
right.
that can help him kind of gain a understanding of what his life is for.
Right, because it's like, when spring does come and when he does come out of those depressive states, it's like that silver lining moment, right? Where mm-hmm. he realizes how good life can be once you're kind of out of that mindset and you're able to take care of yourself again. You're able yeah. to enjoy, you know, the simple things in life that do make life so beautiful, that depression kind of sucks out of you. But when you come out of it, then, you know, it's that... it's all the more meaningful,
right.
you know, when you can enjoy those things again. So I feel like he's able to recognize that he's having a good time in life, and, like, the struggle is worth it. The struggle is worth coming out on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ugh, Namjoon.
Yeah.
I keep getting chills all throughout
this discussion.
You know, just, like, I, not only am I so proud of him for, like, persevering through it all, but being able to put this into lyrics and a song that is so beautiful and mm-hmm. so meaningful that you and I and so many other people can extrapolate our own meaning from mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm getting my own reassurance from this. You know, I can imagine mm-hmm. that, like, the next time I'm feeling that way, I'm going to put this song on and,
yeah.
you know, hope that it comes back to me,
yeah.
you know, it's just so beautiful.
And it's so perfect with its sound too, with having that more meditative, uh-huh. calm sound without being, like, overly, like, optimistic or anything
right.
in your ear that might, like, be hard to hear in moments like
right,
that.
Right, when you're just not ready for that.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So he ends the song with an outro that's just a repetition of, you are my pain, divine, divine. And this repetition makes this phrase, like, one of the most important of the song. Not only is it repeated so many times, but it's right there at the end. It's the last kind of, like, mantra that he's leaving us with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many lines is it? Like
16.
16? Yeah.
I was just curious how to count.
Yeah. 16 lines. Yeah. But again, it just feels like he's found harmony and peace and balance with his depression, you know, learning to live with it instead of fighting it or always resisting it or mm-hmm. even questioning it. I feel mm-hmm. like he questioned it a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in mono. So calling it divine shows that he knows his depression, and it also gives him that perspective on life and, you know, the appreciation for life more when that kind of fog lifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like overall it's conveying this message that it's made him stronger to continue on even in those darkest times, and
yeah.
he knows that, like, there's such a beautiful side on the other side right. of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we fucking love the song.
Yeah,
those
are the lyrics. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we even, like, all the lyrics are in English besides that one line of, like, I forgot, or, like, I don't even want to wash my face.
Washing my face is a waste of time.
And we think he kept it in Korean because it just rhymes better with the previous lines.
Yeah.
And so he just loved it for the sound. But we felt like going in, you know, the lyrics are in English. We had listened to it. Like, we weren't sure, like, that it was going to be so deep. And
mm-hmm.
digging into it, we're like, oh my gosh, we're uncovering all of these layers, and we shouldn't be surprised because
it's
Namjoon, but you
yeah.
know, I feel like when we heard it the first time, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, like, I get what he's talking about, you know, but just to uncover even more throughout it is
yeah.
you know, really beautiful. So let's talk about this music video that pairs so perfectly with it. Like I said, the Sanyeon is that creative director. So he's really, you know, taking and thinking about those lyrics and how they're going to be represented here in this music video, working alongside of the director.
Yeah. And when we get into the music video, we'll kind of talk about how certain imagery pieces of it line up with the lyrics, which I think is rare.
Yeah.
So I do think that's part of the creative director, someone who is a producer on the song and also working on the film, is, I mean, that's like the big pro. That's the big perk.
You see, it makes it fun to like, why is this shot in here? Why is this like that? You know, like it has to be, it's fun for us to be like, it's so intentional. What's the intention?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The director of the music video is Lee Sung-jin, who was also the writer and director for the TV show Beef, which is on Netflix. I think it might still be on Netflix. Corey and I watched that. Actually, Corey was watching it, and I was like, are you watching? Like these are Korean actors. And I was just, like, really shocked. But, yeah, it was a pretty popular show, so I've watched all of that. And I think that's really cool that the director worked on this music video with Namjoon.
There's also an actor from Beef in the music video, Joseph Lee. He plays the friend on the couch in the party scene, like offering a cigarette. And so he's a Korean-American actor, and he's known for his role in that show.
He's the main female character. She's like really rich. It's her husband. He's her husband.
Yeah. And who kind of like tries to keep her like even keeled. And
He's a great part of the show, I feel like.
Another, I would say, like, besides Namjoon himself, one of the most important roles in this music video is played by Kim Min-ha. And she plays like who we name Spring in the music video. She kind of comes in towards the latter half, and she acts kind of as a guide or as that physical representation of Spring, which makes sense because he, you know, personifies her with feminine pronouns in the lyrics. So she's an up-and-coming actress, and you may know her as Soonja from the Apple TV Plus series Pachinko. So, you know, see her there if you haven't yet. There are a bunch of other actors that we see throughout this music video, and you see their names listed on like the cover art poster promo for this, like the actors that we see played for the wife and the daughter, the lover that he's in a fight with, etc. So there's Lee Suk Young, Kim Ae Hyung, Choi Sung Yoon, Lee Sang Hee, Kang Gil Woo, and Ji So Yoo. So we see them come up in the music video. They do an excellent job as well.
Lots of big name actors and actresses.
Yeah.
It's just really neat to see for the music video. And we know that like he's gonna have multiple music videos, a total of 5 for this album. So we're curious to see how other actors or actresses might show up again, etc.
Are incorporated for sure.
All right, so the music video starts off with Namjoon sitting in this, like, I think it's his house technically, but it's just a party setup. And so he's got friends around him drinking, smoking, whatnot. But we have this real close-up shot of him at the very beginning. And one of the first things you notice is he has this cut on his eyebrow. And, well, it's kind of like his eye. It's just below his eyebrow. And I thought maybe this was supposed to be intentional, but this was actually an accident that happened on set. So the director said that Namjoon, that he bent down and he hit his head on the camera and it created this like giant gash on his eye. And I guess the director immediately thought, oh, great, I'm going to be deported immediately because I've scratched this national treasure, which is so funny because, I mean, Kim Namjoon.
Yeah, of course.
But he just like rolled with it. Namjoon's like, all right, like, I guess I just have this gash on my eye. And
I mean, also like time constraints at this point, they can't reschedule. They can't wait 2 weeks for it to heal. They've got to go. He's got to enlist. Yeah. So they made it work for sure. And it wasn't distracting, but it didn't seem like, you know, it added any other meaning to the song because it wasn't supposed to. Like,
it's good to know that it's an accident because I think we would have been trying to figure out why does my eyes
have this cut? Is it going to come out later or whatever? Like they made sure to tell us that months ago.
So when he's on the couch, the friend over to his side who keeps offering a cigarette that Namjoon keeps pushing away, that's the actor who is the actor in Beef. But what you notice in this scene really about Namjoon is that he seems very disconnected at this party. He looks very like right place, wrong person. He seems kind of just out of place, like he's not meant to be there. It looks like he's just not able to enjoy himself where everyone else around him is enjoying themselves.
And actually, when you hear like the like that kind of like sound bowl at the beginning, you see him zone out at that time. Like his gaze totally drops and he's just like unresponsive to his friend.
Staring off.
Yeah, totally. Like it's just
zoned out.
Masterful.
Disassociated.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not, he's definitely not wanting to be there. And so he like looks up, and throughout this music video, we see this door that has like a stained glass, like red, green, and blue, you know, down it. And he sees it and he looks like he wants to go through that door. Mm-hmm. He looks eager to go through it, like it's his escape and his way out of like this depression and this ruminating on these memories that we'll see come up in the music video. It also, a lot of ARMYs were pointing out in the initial interpretations of this video, it reminds us of amygdala. A lot of ARMYs were saying like that in this music video there's references to a lot of other BTS members' solo work. So in amygdala, obviously we see Yoongi like reaching towards that door, stretching, unable to kind get through. And we see Namjoon kind of struggling in the same way in this video as well.
So once he gets up and leaves this party, all of a sudden he finds himself in the bathroom with what appears to be his wife and his daughter. And he looks back and you see that family room that he just came out of, and it's no longer a party scene.
It's like completely different.
It's completely different. Yeah. He is like super confused. He looks a little like unsure of where am I? What just happened? How'd I get here? And so this is when he sings the line, "I forgot the hour." And again, he here seems like, where is the time gone? Wasn't I just there? How am I here now?
With a wife and daughter.
With a wife and daughter. Yeah. So again, feeling very disconnected, disassociated. When he's there with his family brushing their teeth, again, the line matches up with the song. So like, he's not brushing his teeth. Mm-hmm. His wife and daughter are. And he's looking in the mirror, and we have the lyrics where they say, "I forgot to shower, and also I see no purpose in washing my face, or washing my face is a waste of time."
Right.
And so you see him not participate in any hygiene activities while they're there. And I just love that lyric crossover with the timing in the music video.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always get that. Mm-hmm. And he just seems so disinterested.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Kind of like, all right, you know, and then he decides to walk away.
Yeah.
And his wife looks pretty concerned. You know, she looks like, ooh, something's off. Something's not right with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just turns and walks out of the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then as he walks in, you know, out of the bathroom into another room, he's suddenly into another potential like distant memory, or just a scene where he's fighting with a girlfriend. And she looks like so enraged. I mean, like, I would love to get like, you know, closed captioning on what they're saying to each other, because she's absolutely pissed. She's going off, but he's just like, he's either trying to like appease her or just calm her down, or he's like, you know, he walks in and he's confused, but then once she's like throwing things at him, he's like, okay, like he's trying to like take care of it, or like, you know, find a way to calm. And she's, you know, he's like looking again confused, disconnected, like looking like he's asking like, what did I do, or like, what's going on, how did we get here?
Did I say something?
What did I say? Mm-hmm. And then they're kind of like going after something on the wall, like maybe the outlet or something, like gonna grab something. And then she like picks up the lamp, like she's gonna throw it at him. And then he turns and he runs out of the room,
books it.
Yeah, totally.
So he runs away from her and retreat. And also, by the way, I just think like some ARMYs were making it seem like the girl in Seven when she's like angry with Jungkook, and Jungkook is also kind of arguing like, back. There's just a lot of little crossovers like that, which I like those theories. But he runs away from her, he retreats, and it just seems like he's running away from all of these memories. Or I mean, he could just be getting away from her because she's so angry. But he's again really just searching for a way out. He's noticing like everywhere he goes, he doesn't know what's going on. Things just seem like he just feels a little out of place. So he goes over to that door that like kind of amygdala door that we're calling it,
right.
With the three stained glass colors on it. And he really tries to escape. Like, you see him pull at the handle, and you know, he's jiggle like, it. It's locked, and he can't get out. And he's trying to escape from this pain. Either he's, you know, just continuing to, like, ruminate over, like, past memories, mm-hmm. or just feeling like, I'm just so lost. I'm not present. I'm not here. I don't, you know, something's not right.
Right.
You know? And then after he tries to get out this door, you see him turn around the corner, and all of a sudden there's what looks like bars in front of him. Sorry, right. I think I'm taking this from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does. It's interesting because he just runs into it, because it goes from him being trapped at this door, can't get out, to like the visual of him being in jail at first.
Yes.
And then it zooms out and you realize he's not in jail. He's in a crib. And it's like he's, you know, he's a baby again. And this jail motif to us was like symbolized being trapped by depression, or like trapped by that rumination of thoughts of the past, or, you know, of ideas or concepts. And especially since the jail is like a crib from his childhood, it makes you think about like your past self, or, you know, what he went through as a child, and maybe he's still not healed from, you know, those memories, or that's causing his depression now or something. Mm-hmm. But something that we just could not get over is this perfectly placed orange on the pillow next to him. It felt so intentional, and we did a little, you know, looking into it. Mm-hmm. And oranges in Korean culture can represent happiness and prosperity and good fortune. And this made us think about the line of like, spring has always been here. Mm-hmm. So even going back to his childhood there, that, you know, that symbol of happiness and good fortune was even with him back then. Mm-hmm. And that opportunity has always been there. The opportunity to kind of seize it and to enjoy it has always been there, mm-hmm. even if he hasn't always totally felt it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's in this crib and he looks up to see his parents standing there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is definitely the part of the music video that first time watching through was like, oh boy, I don't even know how to begin to interpret this grown, mature Namjoon in a crib, mm-hmm. with his parents trying to get him to play.
Right.
And, you know,
they're trying to appease him and to get him to interact. Uh-huh. And yeah.
Yeah. So you do see the parents, you know, being like, they're holding toys and mm-hmm. rattles, and they're trying to get him to engage. And he just takes a blanket and holds it over his head. And again, that's like, he can't run away out of this crib, but this is him hiding away now. Mm-hmm. What's so interesting is the parents look disappointed in this moment, where like up until this point, I feel like, you know, like the wife and the daughter seemed very concerned, you know, they were like, are you like, oh no, something's mm-hmm. wrong with him. But this looks like this has happened for the parents before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. He's not gonna play. He's not gonna,
like, they knew that this outcome would be.
And I don't know why, but I got this feeling it could maybe be symbolic of like people in his life throughout his life, even when he was young, trying to like make him feel better, mm-hmm. or help him feel happier, mm-hmm. and maybe getting a little frustrated by not being able to help.
Right.
And you can see that kind of disappointment.
Totally.
From the parents.
Yeah, I really feel that. I think that that's what, you know, it's getting at here. And he, you know, they just, the disappointment is so extreme. The way their whole bodies fall, they're just like, mm-hmm. Like, yep. And it's like they're done trying. Mm-hmm. They just can't help anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it could be that, but also like, imagine how hard that is for a kid to feel like, oh, my parents are disappointed.
Rejecting him.
Yeah.
But I think
he's like ruminating so deeply
that he's even going back to like infancy. Childhood.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, that's a way to kind of just get stuck, like, you know, mm-hmm. in the past.
The rumination is major. Yeah. Like, you know, ruminating over these thoughts or these ideas or, you know, his past at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you see this transition from where he's behind the blanket, and then all of a sudden he's behind a massive leaf of a plant here. And he looks down at the leaf and he looks really confused. And he's like, why am I hiding behind this plant again? How did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
But he stays there for a moment because it's comforting. It's like a coping mechanism as he's been running away and hiding from all of these moments so far. So right. He's staying behind this plant. I also feel like Namjoon loves his plants, you know? And so,
oh my God.
Maybe there's a piece of comfort in that too, you know?
He decides to stay there instead of like every other time he's like walked into a scene, but this time he's just kind of like appeared into it and he's like, okay, well, at least I'm a little bit comfortable here with this plant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But this is when, who we talked about, like Spring or the guide, Minha, when the actress's name is Minha, when they walk into the room, and she walks into the room and Spring is in search of him. She scans the room. She looks a little bit like desperate to find him. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't reveal himself in that moment. But right after she exits, he realizes that maybe that's what he's been searching for, and that he's kind of feels like he doesn't have to hide from this person or this feeling or this moment, whatever this is. He's like, okay, they're looking for me, so maybe I should look for them. So we see him kind of like go, you know, down the hallway, and then you see her walk in the background, and he hears her and turns around and walks into the room that she walks into, and it's an empty room. But as he walks up, he turns around to see himself right there. And it's not just himself in the moment. It's a happier version of himself. He's looking at him almost like, you know, like this calming, peaceful energy that we haven't seen from him very often, you know, but this like really positive entity standing here in front of him, but it's himself. Mm-hmm. And he looks shocked to see him at first, but almost like that this whole time he realized he felt like he was okay. And he sees this happier version of himself and realizes that maybe he hasn't actually been the best version of himself. Like saying, like, I told you I'm fine tonight. He realizes how much more fine he could be, how much more happier he could be.
And I do think, like, in those moments of depression, you can feel so disassociated, so disconnected, and feel like life is just like going on. That like maybe in this moment it's like slipped for him, like, like, I'm not okay.
Right.
Like, I thought I was fine, you know.
But at the same time, it's I can be. For sure. And I love too, again, the lyrics matching up with the visuals, because when it pans over to the happy Namjoon, it says Spring always been here. And so I love that it's himself who he sees. You know, it's not like he comes into the room and sees Spring and that's who, you know, like this happiness just comes out of nowhere. Instead, he sees that it's been within him the whole time.
It's been within him.
And so it's hearkening back to this lyrics that he doesn't have to be anything but himself. You know, he doesn't have to find the answer elsewhere. It's within him to find that.
And so we see that happy Namjoon remain, and it pans back over to where the sadder Namjoon was, but he's not there anymore. And now we're seeing that female figure who we're referring to as Spring, and she just replaces that disconnected Namjoon, and the atmosphere completely shifts in the music video. And we love, love, love that this is the line where it says, I sleep in her eyes, and she's there.
Yeah, and even the sun sets, you know, you see like the whole, like the lighting changes where the day passes and the evening lights come on. So, you know,
they go sit on the couch, they have an evening, and you see Namjoon just laughing. Like, it's so amazing to see him laughing, like, I mean, just fully enjoying himself.
It's the best,
and it really is the best to see. And I love that, like, we end up getting this really great transition from him laughing on the couch to then laughing on the couch at the very beginning of the music video, that same couch with the friends around him. So like, we basically go through the whole music video again, only Namjoon now is feeling truly himself. He is his best version of himself in these memories again. And so he is like cheersing with his friends, you know, he's able to enjoy himself at this party just like everyone else is, you know, he's able to indulge and, you know, enjoy the company that's around him. You see him go in and be with his family. Like, this just really gets me, like, seeing him happily brushing his teeth now, like these little moments in life that, you know, we sometimes take for granted, but he's smiling and embracing his wife and his daughter mm-hmm. while they're just getting ready for bed. Mm-hmm. And then you see, like, he goes back to that relationship with the younger girl, like, as if this was, like, a past relationship. And they're sitting on the bed together, laughing, giggling, you know, maybe being a little flirty. Like, it's, you know, the relationship isn't tumultuous anymore. They're happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you even see him, like, well, not even him. It's not like the full adult version Namjoon sitting in the crib again, but it's a little baby Namjoon. And you see, like, you know, kind of far away, and the parents are bent over the crib laughing. They're all mm-hmm. smiling, interacting. And the baby lifts up the orange to the mom. Like, here is my...
To feed the mom.
Yeah, here's my prosperity, my happiness, my good yeah. fortune. I also, like, I know everyone is going to want to hear our thoughts on, like, the wife and the kid, you know? And I just want to, like, share, after getting to the end of this video and, like, our interpretation mm-hmm. of these two different scenes, you know, I don't feel like it's necessarily, like, memories or, like, real lived experiences that he's had. But we do know that, like, even in 2018, like, he bought baby shoes and, like, he really talked about, like, wanting to be a dad. And, like, mm-hmm. we know that he wants to settle down. And I don't think that he has, like, a secret wife and kid that he's hiding away. Yeah. But what I do think that each of these scenes are representing what at one point he thought would be a solution to his depression. Oh, I wouldn't be as depressed if I could have a wife and a child. Oh, I wouldn't be as depressed if I just go party and can hang out with my friends more and have a social life. Oh, I won't be more as depressed if I can have a girlfriend and we can, you know, travel together. And when we see the flip side of the, you know, the scenes, it's the same people, the same things happening, but what's different is him.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, like, the title of the album, Right Place, Wrong Person. All of those things would not be fulfilling to him if he didn't work on himself first, and if he yeah. weren't able to, like, heal from his depression first, it would not fill the hole like he maybe once thought that it would.
Yeah.
So that was my personal interpretation of, like, these different scenes, that they're not necessarily yeah. memories. They're just, like, thoughts that he used to ruminate on, of thinking, like, oh, if I had this, then I could be happy.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head for sure of, like, you know, all of these places are places, like, he has been or wants to be, or, you know,
right.
but that, like, it's not that he's in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in the right place.
Right.
It's just the wrong version of himself.
Right.
And he's worked on himself to be able to know, like, oh, when I am at my best, like, mm-hmm. I am meant to be here.
Right.
And I can be happy and enjoy these moments too. I feel like a lot of these memories are just, well, I keep saying memories, sorry. A lot of these scenes are happy moments that a lot of us experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, like, we all have good, like, good memories from childhood, mm-hmm. good memories of, you know, early relationships,
right.
you know, good memories being out with friends, mm-hmm. good memories with your immediate family,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like, it's just, I feel like these are moments in a lot of people's lives that, you know, are enjoyable.
Yeah.
And
we've also had those same things where we've just been going through the motions, where you're hanging yeah. out with your friends, you're not feeling it, you just want to go home and you don't yeah. want to socialize, or, like, when you're in fights with your loved one, or when you're not doing your self-care and your hygiene and mm-hmm. you just, like, can't even, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's really representative of, you know, everybody's different story for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
So we can all see ourselves in the music video yeah. too.
So after revisiting all of these places, but now he is his best self.
Mm-hmm.
He then sees spring in the garden, and it's dark outside. And she's standing in front of that door that he's so desperately been trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when she kind of nods at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he nods at her, and he's like, yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
And walks over to her, and they stand in front of the door, and... By the way, when he walks out of the party room, like, he has the... We haven't talked about his outfit at all, okay? It's been such a side
There's
note.
So many other things to talk
so
about.
So many other,
like,
things.
Outfit changes in every single
scene. When he walks into a new scene, it's a different outfit. So in the party scene, he's wearing this delicious brown knit sweater that he just looks so fucking buff and fine
yeah,
in, okay?
That's good.
But when he is with her, when he's with Spring, he's in this, like, modern hanbok.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just beautiful. When he is walking out, he walks to the garden and he's barefoot, feeling like literally grounded, you know, walking through this little nature garden, this mm-hmm. little rock garden. And he, you know, they're both standing there in modern hanbok, and she looks at him with such a look of reassurance as she guides him through the door. She opens the door for him, and he takes a short breath. He exhales, knowing that he can, and then he steps through. And as he opens and enters the door, we see this white light pouring out of it, which we felt like symbolized like purity and renewal and just like being refreshed and, mm-hmm. you know, brand new. And this, again, the lyrics when he's walking through the door, "I told you I'm fine tonight," is mm-hmm. what's saying. So,
and he really is fine.
He really is.
He really is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he walks out, you see this maze of all of the different rooms repeating themselves over and over again. But it's like this bird's eye view now. Right. And so, like, you see it's this, like, maze that he's been in. Like, no wonder he's been so frantically, like, where do I go? How do I get out?
Yeah.
But I think what's really meaningful here is that he can't just leave the depression when he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go and get out of it.
Right.
It's not that easy.
Right.
Yeah. And so finding himself again is what brought him into, oh, here's spring again.
Right.
We can move on.
Totally. I love that symbolism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people also say like this, like bird's eye view of the maze, like it looks very Jack in the Box, mm-hmm. very Moore.
Yeah.
The party scene and stuff people say is like Jimin's face.
Right. You know? Totally. But it kind of like this with the music video ending this way where it all like zooms out and then we see like where he's been in repeated over and over again, like mm-hmm. in the background for eternity. That was when I was like, oh my gosh, I do not know what to make of this video.
It just looks like he was really stuck.
Really stuck. I mean, the rumination was a yeah. major theme that we saw like throughout the video, you yeah. know? And so, yeah, very stuck.
Stuck and lost.
So we wonder, you know, if these next four music videos that we're going to get from this album, if they're going to be in this scene, like a continued part of the maze, you know, but regardless of that, you know, we definitely know that they're going to be a continuation of like this process.
We feel that way.
And we feel like yeah. also this guide Spring and the actress that plays her is going to come up in the next music videos. Also, if you look at the poster promo for this video, it's his name and her name listed right under. And then the other six actors are kind of listed on their own line a little bit further beneath. Mm. So she's set apart, and I can't imagine she's set apart just to be the main, like one of the main characters in this video. The way that she walks out with him, you know, feels like she's gonna appear again.
Yeah.
And I also kind of got like Namjoon ARMY vibes side by side with them walking out, like ARMY's always with him, you know,
yeah.
like that female representation is always gonna like make us feel represented there yeah. too. So,
and to call her Spring too, you know, he has such a strong connection with like Spring Day, and of course Spring is that new beginning, that freshness, and of course I think it's gonna take him to ARMY.
Yeah, for sure,
because of that strong just bond yeah. that ARMY and BTS have with Spring Day.
Yeah. Wow, I really, really love this song so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have listened to it. It's definitely on my playlist now. You know, it's a daily listen at least at this point. And it's gotten me really excited for the story and the message that he's going to give us in the rest of this album.
Me too. Yeah, I love this song so, so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those songs that the more you listen, the more you love it.
The more you love it. And
the chorus, it's catchy. It will get stuck in your head.
I feel you come back to me. It's so good.
Yes.
Yeah. It just, I mean, you groove into it too. Like, it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you want. And I can't wait for the rest of it. So
yeah.
We will definitely in upcoming episodes be talking about RM's album, Right Place, Wrong Person, as soon as it's released. We are super excited. It will probably be our next episode, I think, with our recording schedule.
It'll line up.
We'll get yeah. even more promos this week. We can't wait to talk about it. I'm sure we'll talk about it on Instagram stories with you guys or whatever. Mm-hmm. So make sure you are on our socials so that way we can chat about it together in the meantime before the full album comes out. We can't wait to talk about the album as a whole and then dive into the music videos as they go. We're not sure if we'll do like a full album review and then music videos separate, or if they're paired so much together like this, maybe we'll kind kind of do what we did with Hope on the Street and do, you know, song and music video paired together.
We'll have to see.
We'll see how it works out. And we're excited for that live performance he has scheduled too. So definitely a lot to look forward to with the podcast. We appreciate you guys listening along. We want to hear your thoughts on Come Back to Me as well. So make sure you let us know your thoughts, your theories, your interpretation of the music video. We would love to hear it. We also want to extend a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially the VIP Iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so, so much for all of your extra love and support. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, write us a review. It means so much, and it definitely helps listeners like you want to engage in our podcast and give it a listen also. Of course, you can find links for all the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.